Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
An Erios production.
Would I kill my own baby to save a village?
Would I go back in time and kill Hitler?
Would I take the promotion at work? With strings attached?
Would I eat muffins for the rest of my life if it meant I didn't have to go to school?
Would I have Satan's child?
The big one!
Hi, everybody, and welcome to The Big, I'm Maria.
And I'm Amanda.
Each week, we discuss new ethical questions ranging from historical decisions to relationship problems to brain-busting moral choices.
The questions can be complicated to discuss, but they're always fun to talk about because they force you to look deep, deep, deep within inside yourself. Will you like what you see?
Candace and Kayla.
Oh, gosh, I don't know. Are we going to like what we see?
I feel like we're just going to see a lot of caffeine and some takeout food if I go deep, deep within.
That sounds good to me. So, Big Ones listeners, if you're not already familiar, you probably recognize their voices from their hit podcast, Directionally Challenged. And will you tell us a little bit about it? I was just listening to it. I went on a walk and I listened to your episode with our Erios co-founder, Priyanka Matu.
That was so fun to have Priyanka on. And that was, I think, season one for us. So we were still getting in the groove of it. And you guys know what it's like. You start something. What we love so much about having Directionally Challenged is, as actors and performers, I know you guys know as well, our life is kind of at the whim of everyone else. And so this was the first time we had creative control of a project. And it has been so much fun. Not only that, but we also get to do it together. With doing this with one of my best friends, Candace, has been so fun. And it's just deepened our relationship, and it's been a truly rewarding experience for sure.
Yeah, I feel like we were really good friends. And then I was like, hey, what if we did this podcast together? And now you're trapped and you're my best friend forever. Deal with it.
Because you're business partners.
Exactly. It's really fun to be business partners with your friends. The concept for this podcast came to us a few years ago. We are women in our 30s. We've known each other since we were in our 20s. We found that we were more impulsive in our 20s, and we figured, oh, when we were in our 30s, that's when we'll have everything figured out. We're just going to feel really solid, feet on the ground, and know what we're doing with our lives. And we were pretty tipsy in my bathroom at a friend's bridal shower, you know, as you find yourself in your 30s, really stressed out about where we were in our lives, of trying to feel secure in what we were doing career-wise, how we felt socially, just, you know, still feeling anxious going to a social event and wondering, like, is this room full of people going to like us and accept us? And we're like, this is ridiculous. We thought we were going to have it all figured out, but we were slightly directionally challenged. We wanted to have creative control over something in our life, and felt really inspired by the opportunity to sit down and talk with other people, specifically women that we admired, who we felt were either experts in their field or just experts in our own field. And so we thought a podcast was a great opportunity in order to do that. Instagram and social media never felt like a really authentic platform for us to show who we really were. And so the opportunity to have a microphone in front of us, have real conversations in real time with people that we admired and get guidance from them, felt really authentic. And so that was really the foundation of the podcast. And then now it's just been such a joy, especially, you know, during a really hard year like 2020, for us to be able to connect with people all over the world and continue exploring subject matter that we found really interesting to us. And so we invite our listeners to do that with us every week.
Okay, Maria, if you could like sum up the big ones like that.
Honestly, that's really a sick request from me because you just did that so professionally. And if someone was like, and what's the big ones? I'd be like, I don't know. Just listen. I don't care.
Thank you. I feel like, I don't know if you've ever seen Old School when Will Ferrell has to like give the answer at the debate. I don't know if I'm just like, anyway, I've been watching a lot of movies in quarantine, guys. And I just feel like I go Will Ferrell where I just black out and then come out and be like, did I say it right? Did it was the answer
that's
correct?
So, it's no, great, it's honestly. So nice. Like, I wish I had half of that. Like, I can't even talk right now because it was so well talked about.
That's very nice. Thank you.
But everyone, I think if you guys like the big ones, you'll like Directionally Challenged. And you guys have like a really broad span of the type of people you have on as guests. And then you guys have such a fun friendship. So I feel like, you know, we have some crossover there.
Absolutely. One of our favorite guests we just interviewed, I just have to give a little shout out. We had one of the last known Auschwitz survivors on our podcast about 2 weeks ago. And she is truly incredible, Dr. Edith Eger. And we sat down and we knew we had so much to learn from her. And of course, our conversation ends in tears and she is truly inspirational. So if you have a minute and you want to listen to Directionally Challenged, highly recommend that episode that we just released.
That's amazing. Awesome.
And I want to tell the big ones listeners that Kayla and I went to high school together.
Woo woo. I know I have to give a shout out. Go La Salle. Go Griffins. We, Amanda and I have known each other for so long.
I know. And Kayla was a year ahead of me. And she was so cool because I remember being like, oh my God, Kayla leaves class to go on auditions.
And now look at us, Amanda.
Podcasters.
I remember being in high school and the show I was working on, Freaks and Geeks, I hated the title and I was so embarrassed by it that I didn't tell anyone about it. And I literally went all through high school being on this fantastic show that now we know has like won Emmys and everyone talks about it, but being so embarrassed that it was called Freaks and Geeks. And you know, when you first start high school, it's all about what other people think. And so I was genuinely nervous that people would think I was a freak or a geek. So you knew me at that point, Amanda, where I didn't know who I truly was at that point yet.
Wow. And Amanda, what would you leave class to do?
Oh my God. Actually, I was thinking about this last night. The one time I did get an audition and my mom like drove me up to Hollywood to go on it. It was for people with deformed feet.
With what?
Deformed feet. Because I was a ballet dancer. And so they like posted something at my dance school that was like casting call. Like, we know all of your feet are really messed up. And so my mom drove me out to this audition and I feel like it was at like 200 South La Brea, like that commercial casting office. And the camera was just down facing toward the floor and I just had to like spin around on my like bare feet a couple of times.
And you didn't get it?
I didn't book it. They weren't bad enough.
That's hilarious. And now look at you. Like, that's insane. That's so funny. That's such a good story.
Maria doesn't seem to like it.
Well, I'm glad that you guys are both have shining histories in LBC.
Well, it's actually Los Alamitos, Maria. So I, because Maria's confused. Because,
that's why I said go Los Al.
Yeah, because I grew up in Long Beach, but then I went to school in Los Alamitos. And then Kayla, you probably lived in Los Alamitos.
No, I grew up in Long Beach and went to school in Los Alamitos. What? Are we sisters?
What? See, and I knew that. And that's why I said it. That's why I said it, because I knew that.
So we like to start the big ones by asking our guests if they have any little moral dilemmas that they want to talk out here on the air. Is there anything that's on, like, you can each do one, or if you have a shared one, like anything on your mind? Let's hear it.
I have one, but do you have one?
Go,
Kayla?
Candace, go. No, I do too, but you go first.
It's like, I feel bad enough that like I'm nervous to even say it out loud. So I'm just going to go broad and see if you guys bully me into like being more specific. But I love celebrity gossip and like really love it. And am I just like putting bad stuff into the world? Like, it karmically, is it bad to just talk about other people? Like, at all, like, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all. Like, as Thumper would say in Bambi. And like, do we just need to keep our mouths shut even when it comes to celebrity gossip, or is that just fair game?
Okay, I have a couple questions here. Now, I get this. Now, there's nothing more fun than opening up an Us Weekly and seeing what the stars are doing. There's nothing more fun than a piece of gossip coming out on Twitter and you going, oh my God, look what happened to her or him. But are you talking about it publicly, or are you saying just gabbing with your friends?
This is for like wine time, or like, you know, just like this is for girlfriend time.
Girl, gossip away. Gossip away. Who is that hurting?
I think it's the perfect outlet. It's like, what's the alternative? Is like us talking about our friends? You know what I mean? It's like we have to have an outlet. And part of, I feel like as humans, it's like we're such social animals that this is part of us like sorting out relationships by like being obsessed with celebrities. I mean, I think the one thing is like I try not to buy the rags, you know, because I don't want to like support the paparazzi, because I think that celebrity culture can be really destructive. But if my hand might, you know, take me to the Daily Mail maybe twice a week.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're getting your nails done or something, I bet you reach for an Us Weekly. Do you not?
I'll use, a second hand. Us Weekly. I'll flip through.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I really don't. I don't think there's anything wrong with looking at judging someone within the confines of your own home.
Thank you.
I also will just add to all of this that, especially with the state of the world right now, if a little bit of celebrity gossip is like your sort of escapism, then I think there are way worse ways to escape.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a difference between, you know, talking with your girlfriends or going on Twitter and just like bringing someone down because they're and right. being like, can you believe this? Can you because, you know, look, I don't care if people talk about me as long as it never gets to me.
Mm-hmm. There's a quote. Yeah. What other people say about me behind my back is none of my business. And I don't know who said it.
But I love that.
But I think there's a karma issue that you're talking about, right, Candace? Like, you actually believe that it may come back to you.
Well, I'm just like, is that bad? You know what I mean? Like, at a time when the world just needs some like positivity, is it just like, am I just being a catty bitch by like, you know, and just spewing negativity? But then how can I not talk about it? I don't know.
Exactly.
But it is. It's a nice break from. Like, I felt like I was getting so wrapped up in like politics, especially. And it just like, it felt like a nice, like just mental break. But yeah, that's my small, tiny dilemma is like, should I just be really just pushing positivity out in the world? Or is it okay to get my hands in some celebrity dirty gossip?
I think it's more than okay. I think it's necessary.
Yeah, I do too.
Thank you. All right.
Okay, so I have a moral dilemma, but I'm like nervous to bring it up only because it is not very small. I would say it's quite large, but it is something that is real that I was going through last night and like couldn't sleep about. And I thought, well, might as well just talk to you girls. And I really like your honest opinion about it. So I found a possible way, a friend of a friend through whatever, to maybe get the vaccine. Now, this is huge, obviously. Apparently, you know, they're just being tossed away. But I am not an essential worker. I am not someone that is elderly. I do not have health conditions. So is this something I don't do morally, right? Because I know that I am not someone who needs it right now. But then also on the other hand, I'm thinking, well, if they're literally just being tossed away, is it a waste? Do I go do it? And I genuinely don't know what to do. I would love advice.
Yeah, I've talked to people who've been in the same situation, because I had a girlfriend who worked at a hospital and she's like, we're getting so many vaccines. It's like my boss told me to tell my friends and family to come get them. But then you also hear, I was just reading in the LA Times, like all these scams that are happening where they're like, hey, this place needs to get rid of these vaccines. But really, it was just some crazy person gave out this access code and it didn't end up being the case. But people went and got them and then felt so bad about it after. So I think like it's just a disorganized rollout. So it's like weird that you're even in this position, right?
Is there aren't people doing this thing where like at the end of the day, they're like at the hospitals where if like the things are getting thrown away, that then you can go up and say like, are there any...
I have heard that. This is not that, but I have heard that, which is... Yeah.
That, see, that to me is the perfect way to like you... Because it's like... Yeah, I get the idea of like, I don't want to take someone's spot because, and it just doesn't feel right if it's like, you know, there's tons of people in nursing homes and stuff that might not have this. And it's like, just because I'm able to get to the place to get it. And, you know, right. why aren't these vaccine places like making more of an effort to get people who need this to the front of the line, you know? But then again, it's like, but if they're getting thrown away, then what's the problem? But I think if it is the end of the day and maybe you've waited there all day, or like, you know, it's like you're seeing them throw them out, then I'd be like, okay, well, if it's literally getting thrown out.
Yeah, I've also heard, because it's also like you getting the vaccine like is good for everyone, you know, because it's still helping. And I've heard people talking about this as well, saying like, if you get an opportunity, but it's in like a low income neighborhood, like I wouldn't go get that vaccine.
Right.
They should make an effort to go like recruit people. But if it's in like a more well-to-do area, and it's just, if it doesn't go to you, it's going to go to someone else, like in your same position. Personally, I'm like, if you're going to get the vaccine, you might as well. That's how I feel. But yeah. I don't know. Like, it's such a tricky situation.
I know. I go back and forth. I've been going back and forth with it since yesterday, and I don't know what to do. So
yeah. The other thing is, if you're going to feel bad and it's going to stress you out, there's also, and you can, that might answer your question too, because I really think it's such gray area, but if you're going to feel like so weird about it, maybe you just have to like wait it out, but I don't know.
No, thank you. I know. That's why I was like, I should just bring it up, because I might as well just talk to you guys about it. And you know,
I want to know what Candace thinks, because she's sitting over there waiting to talk about this with her friends over a glass of wine tonight. Can you believe what Kayla said?
I know. I've never been farther away from my microphone.
Yeah, she did lean back.
No, look, I think we all live in California. It's a very large state. I think each state is handling, you know, the rollout differently. So I think the most important thing for anyone to do is to research as much as possible about what is accessible, you know, who is able to get the vaccine. If you have family members that are older or loved ones that are older, make sure that they have accessibility first and foremost, anyone who's high risk. And look, I think we're all doing the best we can within this pandemic, and yeah, I think it comes down to, I don't know enough about it. Actually, I would have to research it to actually give any sort of advice, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I agree that you couldn't sleep last night. There's definitely like an ickiness to it, because you're like, wait a minute, but it's not our fault.
Well,
right?
It feels wrong. It feels like, because exactly.
But it's not, but the thing is, it's like, you're looking at the people that are in charge and you're going, why is this happening? Like, why am I, right. Why is the burden on my shoulders? This should be, you know, I should just be in line and get it when I'm supposed to get it. But it's so messed up that you're just like, wait, what, they're throwing them away? Why should they go to waste? But I do agree with Candace that it's like, you know, if you've got this opportunity and you've got, you know, a bunch of people in your life that are older or have pre-existing conditions, or you have the ability to go like, hey, there's this opportunity for you to get these leftover vaccines. I mean, that would probably be the best thing to do first, right? Is to like lead those people in the direction of, but it shouldn't be on your shoulders.
Well, that was my idea too, is like, maybe I should just try and figure out who really needs it and people I know, and do it for them as opposed to just do it for myself. That was kind of what I was thinking, is if I have the ability to figure it out for myself, I can probably figure it out for other people who need it more than me. So why wouldn't I utilize that?
Mm, right.
That was what I kind of came to.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's good.
So again, do the research. Yeah. That's really good advice.
And she's right.
things, guys. Thank it's, you.
It's crazy though that it's so disorganized. It's just crazy.
It's a big project. But I mean, listen, Fauci's saying end of May. We will all be eligible to get it.
Sorry to bring up something so controversial, but I really appreciate your guys' advice.
Girl, this is the big ones. If we don't go there, who will?
So I hope we helped you guys out. Now, what we're asking you to do in return is we need people to rate and review, and people get bored when we ask them to do it and join our Patreon. So we like to ask the guests if they just ask our listeners to rate, review, and join our Patreon.
You guys, rate the show, review the show, join the Patreon. We get it. We're on our side, we understand how much work goes into creating a podcast. And it's not something that is simple. There's a lot of thought and love put into it. So do your part, rate, review, make sure you go on to the Patreon. Patreon's so fun, by the way. We also do Patreon for Directionally Challenged, and it's so fun and so personal. Make sure you guys do it. Subscribe.
Yeah, it's International Women's Month. So support some ladies.
Well, thank you guys so much. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to get to the big, big one. And I hope you guys like women's baseball.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're back. Maria, do you want to read the big, big one since you wrote it up this time?
No. You go ahead. Oh, you go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Is everyone ready?
Yeah.
Okay. I need verbal confirmation.
Yes.
Yes.
Born ready.
I can't hear you. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. You are a sexy married woman whose sexy husband is off fighting in World War II. While he's fighting the Nazis, you're living on your family's Oregon farm with your mom, dad, and little sister, Kit. Both you and your sister have always loved playing baseball, and you're both really good. You're better, though. You're better at everything. You're biding your time, waiting for your life to start back up once your husband gets back from war, and you can have kids and be a loving wife. But when a sassy baseball recruiter sees you play baseball in your farm league, he asks you to come to Chicago to try out for an all-women's baseball league that Harvey Chocolate Bars is starting in order to satiate the baseball demand during the war. He doesn't want your sister, though. No one wants her because next to you, people don't even see her. But you convince him that the only way you're going to try out is if your little sister Kit can come, so he agrees. You both make a team and you become the belle of baseball, making the cover of Life magazine and leading your team to the playoffs. But tensions between you and Kit reach a boiling point and she can no longer take being second best. The tension causes Kit to be traded to another team that your team ends up playing in the World Series. In the final game, you see your sister losing her head, knowing that in her mind she needs to beat you. At the bottom of the ninth, bases loaded, it's up to you to catch a ball that will lead your team to win the World Series. If you don't catch the ball, your sister's team will win. Do you catch the ball or purposely throw the game for your little sister?
So good. By the way, I just have to say my little stuffed animal growing up was a little cat and I named her Kit after Dottie's sister Kit in A League of Their Own. This is my all-time favorite movie. For me, it's a no-brainer. You let go of that ball.
I rewatched it the other day and there's no movie that makes me cry like that. Sobbing. Mm-hmm. Sobbing, like uncontrollably sobbing because they get old.
Right. And like, here's the thing for me, that dilemma isn't that difficult because it's what team are you on? Are you on team family or are you on team baseball? Sure. And for me, it's like a no-brainer. I also have a little sister that is 13 months younger than me. And so we are extremely close. We grew up watching that movie. So I felt like we were two sisters just like that, right? And so for me, it was an absolute no-brainer. You let her win. Let her win.
Okay, well, I'm just going to play the other side of the coin to make this interesting.
Please.
Because the whole thing, though, is Dottie isn't like, this isn't Dottie's dream. You know what I mean? But what if it was? You know, what if she was the Lindsey Vonn of like women's right. baseball? What if this was her dream and this is all she wanted? You know, what if she was the Serena Williams? You know what I mean? Like Serena Williams isn't just like tossing the racket being like, you know what, I'm going to give this one to Venus. They always like really went for it. So I think that taking into consideration, it depends on like who's Dottie, you know, if Dottie really wanted to win, maybe she would have held on to the ball and that would have been okay too. It just depends on like who's in that position of Dottie is what I'd say.
Let me throw, if I may, a curveball here, because I did watch some deleted scenes that didn't make it into the movie. And there was a kiss between her and Tom Hanks, believe it or not.
Ooh.
Between
Dottie and Tom Hanks? Oh, wow.
Okay.
Oh, I'm really happy they cut that out.
Yes. So there's, and that's part of the reason why she packs her bag and because she's like, why would you do that? But it's like good. It's good. It's good. Cause you see her being like, don't kiss me. I thought you liked me. I thought we were friends. Anyway, the scene that gets cut out shows you a lot more about Dottie. And what you learn is that she's playing down the fact that she loves baseball because she's got a husband and she wants to be a wife and she's the oldest and she's playing the role of I'm the good wife. I'm going to be a mother. And that's what my life has. That's the course my life is on. And she doesn't allow herself to be open to the fact that she really loves baseball and she loves to play. And she's always suppressing that. Mm. And I think that Kit, because she's so like out, she's like, this is what I want to do. This is who I want to be. It makes Dottie retreat into herself going, well, that's not, you know, I can't compete with that level of emotion, basically.
Oh, she's also protecting Kit, right?
Exactly. And so I think that there is this, what makes me go like, oh, this isn't so cut and dry, is the fact that Dottie is suppressing a love of something because she's committed herself to other things in her life.
Now, this is interesting too, and hearing you say that, and I haven't seen the movie in a long time, so just quick question, does she throw the game?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah. For her sister. Okay. She throws
no
the game.
No one seems to really remember. Okay, yes. I didn't want to ruin it for you
because
I figured she threw the game. But I was going to say that that I think Dottie is sort of tamping down her light. Like she feels guilty for always sort of being like getting more attention than her sister. You know, I don't know why she's taller, like bigger hair or whatever. but she's just like probably.
She's literally tamping down her hair because it's too big. She's going,
like, how do I get this flatter? But I think it's just like in general, and maybe I've not like not an athlete. I'm not a professional athlete. Marie and I do play on a basketball league. But it is just bad sportsmanship to throw a game because you're also on a team with a bunch of other women who are working their butts off to win. And so, sorry, I think maybe Kit needs to eat a little piece of humble pie and maybe she'll learn a bigger lesson in the end, which is like, just because I'm in second place doesn't mean I'm not valuable.
That's a very, very valid point.
Yeah. I mean, it does come down to a kind of a mental health issue where I don't think Kit ever really learned how to deal with this feeling, the feelings of being second to her. She's constantly comparing herself to her sister. And of course that's fair because her family thinks her sister is better. That sassy John Lovett's character thinks the sister is better. Everyone's always comparing her to her sister because her sister's so good at everything. But, you know, so what? Just play your own game, girl. You're good enough.
Yeah. It's the comparison game. She gets stuck in it.
I think it's also playing into this idea of women can have it all, and not just women, but men, any person can just have it all. You can literally have the most successful marriage, the perfect family, give birth exactly when you want to, how you want to, and be dominant in your career all at the same time. And that's really hard to do. You know, her husband just came back from war. He's alive. She thought he died. Maybe she secretly wants to just be with her husband. If she always wants kids, she knows she can't be pregnant and play baseball at the exact same time. And also, you can really love what you do, and you can also really want to be home and have a family. And those are going to be competing feelings. And I think that she's wrestling with all that stuff too. So just to put it all on her little sister and wanting her little sister to have it, I think it's also recognizing like Kit really did just want that at that point in her life. Whereas Dottie was like, you know what? I love this so much. I love this career opportunity so much, but it's okay to also want to be home with my husband and maybe start a family. Like that is just as okay. That's not like letting go of a dream.
Also to add to that, because of the era that she lived in, I don't think that she felt like she could be a mom and a wife and then also be a ball player. I think she felt like she had to pick, where nowadays it is more acceptable for everyone to try to do and juggle everything, even though we all know in doing so, it can drive you crazy. But I think that there's an element there where she felt like she had to choose who she was, one or the other. Yeah. Couldn't be both.
This, you guys are giving me chills because I just realized Dottie doesn't throw the game for Kit. Dottie throws the game for Dottie. So that's her being like, I'm choosing my path and this is what I'm choosing.
Wow.
Yes. Is that fair to her team though? I mean, let's take Kit out of it.
That's true.
And there's this entire team that, you know, yeah, Dottie's the best player on the team, but she's not the only player on the team. They all got there too, and they're all playing their best. Why should she be the one with all the power?
Because she's the best. She's the MVP, baby.
Yeah.
Good point. I mean, that's why it's a big dilemma.
That's a big one.
There were a couple times I was throwing our pistol shrimps games.
You were? Oh, that's okay. It makes a lot more sense now why you were playing like that.
But I did it for you so that you could feel.
You could feel like better. I was. Thank you. Yeah, let's take Kit out of it for a second. Is it okay for your own personal gain or the gain of, you know, someone you love to throw other people under the bus?
Well, no, because it's bad sportsmanship. So it reminds me of the White Sox scandal. I don't know if we're all familiar with that. It was like maybe the World Series and like, okay, was it 1918? I don't know, something like that. But anyway, the White Sox weren't being paid well. They were being treated poorly by the manager. And so they decided to throw the World Series in order to get like paid out, to be paid properly. And it just, I don't know, because it's like sports are just sports. I mean, it's both serious and important to have good sportsmanship. And it's also like, but it's just sports.
Well, but it's also like someone's livelihood and their dream. And, you know, so I understand as a whole team saying, no, we deserve more. We deserve to be treated better. And as a team, we're sticking together. You know, Dottie didn't like make a pact with the team of like, hey, guys, I got to let this go. Yeah. And, you know, if we're taking Kit out of it, you know, I'm done and I didn't even really want to be here. And I love the idea of this, but this isn't my real path. Wow. I just love getting deep on A League of Their Own.
It's really intense.
It
and
is.
I remember being a kid and watching her do that and be like, what is she doing?
I know,
like, when
me
she
too.
She dropped the ball. I remember being like, this is the big game. We know you can catch it. You've caught that same catch
in
before.
A split.
And they show that.
Yes.
You know what?
Yeah.
I think when I watched it, I didn't realize she didn't catch it on purpose. Is that possible?
Yeah.
They slow motion it down so that you see they slow motion it down.
I think there's a minute where she like can, and then she drops, and then the ball keeps going. So it is a decision.
Her glove literally goes like this, and then does she, like, it's a very slow.
Okay, and she goes whoops, or
yeah, she just smiles yes. at Kit.
She looks at the
yeah.
camera.
Yeah, oh, she yeah. winks at the audience.
Yeah. She shrugs at the camera.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
And then the Curb Your Enthusiasm song comes on, and yeah.
So should we do final thoughts on where, like, let's final thoughts. We are Kit. Do we catch the ball?
Or you mean Dottie?
Okay, we are Dottie, yeah. Do we catch the ball, or do we let it slip out of our butterfingers?
Look, I would love to say that I would let it slip out of my butterfingers. I also know I'm very competitive. So, you know, if you've ever played a board game with me, I don't know. Like, you know, I really make my 5-year-old step up to the game, you know, when we play Sorry. You know, it's called Sorry. Like, step up, Florence. This is the name of the game. So, of course, like, I would like to drop the ball for my little sister, Kit, if I was in Dottie's position. But I don't know. I watched the movie as a kid, too, and was like, why'd she just do that? She was supposed to win the game. So, I don't know. There's my big dilemma. I'm going to wrestle with that with my therapist now next week. This is all I'm going to talk about.
I will say at the beginning of the movie, older Dottie, who I always thought it was Gina Davis in makeup, and it's not. It's an older woman with Gina Davis doing the voice.
Oh, weird.
Oh,
it's shocking. It's shocking. So she's with her grandsons, and one's older, one's younger, and they're playing basketball, and she calls her older grandson over, and she goes, hey, let your little brother score a couple. He's littler than you. And the kid says, okay. And then she brings the little boy over and she goes, kill him. So she's setting up a dynamic of giving these kids compassion as well as like drive, you know? So like the little kid won't always lose and he'll be able to pump himself up in a way, which is what I think she was doing for Kit, was going, she wins this one and she's got something that will propel her in her life where she can feel like she's good enough.
Wow.
Okay, so what's your final answer?
I'd like to not go right now. I'd like some.
You're going to copy Kayla. She's going to copy Kayla.
Whatever Kayla says.
I still stand with where I was in the beginning. I would drop the ball in a heartbeat. It's, to me, it's just like, it's very black and white to me personally, based on my life experience. I would do it in a heartbeat.
Okay, I'm going to catch the ball. I'm going to catch the ball because... And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to schedule some sort of like backyard tournament with Kit later, like a race. Be like, let's do this race, and I'll throw that so she can feel good. And I'll invite press and whatever.
You know what's interesting though, and which this is why I might not drop the ball. I'm going home after this. I'm going to be a wife and a mother. Kit's going to stay on because they're doing another season of baseball, right? She's got more. She's not going to have to deal with me anymore. She's never going to have to be second best to me anymore. So she can go next season and be fine. She'll be the best pitcher in the league, whatever. So why should I just do this when she can just wait a couple months? And also watching it, the fact that Kit didn't know she dropped the ball is honestly really embarrassing. Because Kit, like, afterwards is like, wow, you like, she's like acting all tough. And I'm like, you don't think that Dottie dropped the ball? Really? Kit's embarrassed.
Even Madonna knew she dropped the ball. Madonna knew. Madonna and Rosie knew she dropped the ball.
They
Madonna
knew.
Madonna always knows.
Always.
Can't get anything.
I'm gonna
faster.
Keep I'm going to probably drop the ball. I know, that's crazy, but I'm going to drop the ball because if I'm seeing my sister that upset about it, I have to. Because in the movie, Kit's freaking out. Yeah. She's having like a conniption fit. I have to drop the ball.
But you know what I'm so concerned about, Maria, that like 3 years later when you guys get in some fight, you're going to be like, guess what? I dropped
yes,
the
I will.
Ball on purpose.
I will do that.
Yes, I know.
You're right. I'm not going to drop the ball.
Because you know you'd have that piece of ammo in your back pocket and there's no way on your deathbed.
Oh my God.
I'd feel horrible having that secret too. My purpose. Well, guys, that was a great dilemma.
It's a good one.
Okay, so now we have a Dear Big Ones that comes in from one of our listeners. And I think it's a good one that we will be able to help them with. Let me find it. Oh, Marie, did you text this to me? Oh, I see. Okay, let me see. Okay, here we go. Dear Big Ones, and this is from Anonymous. A young work colleague of mine, I like her, but we're not best friends, is having a difficult time with her boyfriend. She is constantly upset by it and asks advice about what to do. I've given both sympathy and my advice that she should break up with him, but she's unable or unwilling to act on it. Maybe she just likes the drama, or maybe she genuinely feels stuck. I don't know. But it leads me to ask this question. Am I a better friend to her if I call on her to act on her bullshit? Example, quote, this relationship is no good for you. You're a mess. Or if I just express sympathy regardless of how I actually feel. Like, this sounds really hard for you. I can see you're upset by it. I don't know why that makes me laugh. It's so cold. This must be really hard. I can tell you're upset. I'd be like, what? Excuse me? Okay. I know in a boon companion, you'd get both elements in just the right measure, but in a casual work acquaintance, I don't know what to do. I'm losing respect for her. What should I do? Thank you, Anonymous.
Okay. I feel like I've done both of these. So I've been on all sides of this. I feel like if it's a really close friend, you say it once. Like a real sit down, not just like flippantly, you sit down and really say like, hey, I'm concerned for you. And are you happy? And, or these are things you've been saying to me and I'm just going to say it once. I will support you. Obviously, if their mental health, physical health, any of those things are of a concern for you, like, of course, this cannot happen. This is over. But if it's just like normal relationship stuff, you say like, these are some of the things you've been saying to me. And it doesn't seem like you're that happy. And I just love you. And I want you to be happy. And maybe this isn't the right person for you. But just know that comes with consequences. That person, if they don't break up, they might be a little bit distant from you. Or if they do break up, then it's just a lot to kind of put out there, but you can do it. And I think you can only do it once. You can't keep saying it. It's once and then you let it go. If it's someone you don't know that well, then I think it's at that point, just realizing that, oh, this is maybe a pattern in the other person's relationship. And they really just are looking for someone to listen. And, you know, maybe just going to the script of, I'm so sorry that that's happening. That sucks. And trying to change the subject to celebrity gossip or something.
It sounds like your anonymous listener, it's more of a work relationship. They're not that close. And it almost feels like they're more annoyed with the fact that it's constantly brought up. So if I were in that situation, I would just say to them, look, in my experience, it seems like relationships are easy when they're right, especially in the beginning. And it doesn't look like you're like, that's your scenario. And I've given you advice and it doesn't look like it's working. So I'm not sure I'm the one that can help you with this. Maybe so-and-so can.
Put them off
to someone else.
Yeah. Like maybe Maria might have good advice.
Right.
Like poke up from my cubicle.
Or I've seen our other coworker have a great relationship. Maybe she can help you and give you some advice with it, because gosh, it looks like I'm not able to help you.
Pawn it off,
in a nice way.
But the problem is people that love their drama don't know how to stop talking about it, even when you're pushing them away. They go, oh, you won't believe what happened to me last night. And it's like, well, I told you yesterday I don't want to talk about this anymore. So in that case, yeah, you may just have to just put your hand in front of your face and just say, enough. enough is enough.
Some people, they get the outlet by talking about it, so then they can just be inactive and never actually do anything.
Right.
you know? So, and I think if it's obviously it's triggering yeah. you, they said it's making them lose respect for them. So right. it's boundary time. You gotta yeah. just put up like what Kayla and Candace were saying. It's just, and even what they say in the email, if they were like, I see that you're in a lot of pain. I'm so sorry. That must be hard. Like, and then you don't, that's it.
Yeah. yeah. Don't give them any food. You don't give them any food to feed off of. You just kind of put, you put little like boundaries up with the things you say. Oh, I'm so sorry. You don't give right. them anything to feed off of. Any yeah. advice?
It's hard. It's hard to argue with someone who's agreeing with you.
Right. Yeah.
Like, yes, that's, I see that you're really upset by this. You're really upset by this all the time. And I acknowledge that. I'm going to go grab a coffee.
And don't even offer to get them one. You just say, I have to go get yeah. a coffee and I have to do it alone. Out of the
room. You stop, drop, and roll.
Thank you guys so much for being here. This has been so fun.
I know. You guys are both so lovely. And do you want to like do some last plugs, or where can people follow you and listen to your pod?
Awesome. So our podcast, Directionally Challenged with Candace King and Kayla Yule, is available anywhere you listen to your podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all that good stuff. Our podcast Instagram is at Candace Kayla. So it's just our first two names. And that's where you can find all the info on all of our everything Directionally Challenged. And we've got some fun merch coming up and all kinds of stuff. So make sure you stay tuned.
Amazing. And you guys can follow us at The Big Ones Pod on Twitter. You can email us your big, big ones, your dear big ones, on the big ones podcast at gmail.com. Join our Patreon for $3 a month. You get two bonus episodes a month. Two bonus episodes a month, you guys. And don't sleep on that, because we've got some gold. We're churning out diamonds. Mm. Well, guys, thank you. Thank you so much for being here. Guys, thanks so much for listening to
The Big One.
Earios.
Powered by Acast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.